to a completely different world. First of all, Moab was a pagan nation. In fact, the Moabite people were the ancestors of Lot's incestuous relationship with his eldest daughter. So they really had a bad history from day one. The Moabites worshipped other gods and even practiced human sacrifice. So this was a pagan land. And Elimelech must have been desperate to move his family there. Now, the Bible says that they went there to live for, as it says, a little for a while. Now, probably Elimelech's plan was to wait out the famine a season or two, perhaps a year or two, and then to go back home. But Elimelech died, and his sons married Moabite women, and what was intended to be a short visit stretched into more than a decade. And then the sons died, and Naomi found herself in Moab, a foreign pagan nation, responsible for two daughters-in-law with no one responsible for her. She was in tough shape. She was alone. During these years, everything in Naomi's life steadily went from bad to worse. Have you ever experienced a time in your life like that? Where you run from one problem to another, and the more you run, it seems like the more trouble you get into. I've known people who couldn't take the pressure and the responsibility of being married any longer. It was just too much for them. They just had to get away. And after they'd escaped their marriage, they didn't find the happiness that they were certain was waiting for them as a single person. In fact, they stumbled from one doomed relationship to the next until their life just spiraled completely out of control. And I use the word they because I've seen that happen to more than one person. I've seen it happen more than once that people will be trying to get out from under financial pressure, and they'll pursue crazy schemes and risky investments, and ultimately they end up more broke than ever before. Ever that happened to you? Have you ever seen that? I think we all know what it's like when life goes from bad to worse. Quite frankly, that's what happened to Naomi. It started with a plan to escape from the famine for a short period of time, and it ended a decade later with her alone and destitute, facing more responsibility than she could possibly handle. She was scared. If you're facing a bad to worse situation right now, I want you to know that you will love this book because it will show you how God will work in circumstances like that. And I hope that you'll appreciate these messages that we'll look at over the next 3 weeks on Ruth as we tell this story. Naomi's life didn't continue in the bad to worse spiral. In fact, in a very short period of time, she was actually blessed beyond her wildest dreams. Even though she was at the point where it appeared she had lost everything, a new life was waiting for her right around the corner. The Bible says that Naomi received word that the famine had ended in Bethlehem. And then here's a key verse, verse 7. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. She took that step of faith and moved on to a different path. If you don't like the situation you're in right now, the first step is to do just what Naomi did. And that's my first point this morning. Get on the road that takes you where you need to go. It's crucial to remember that it's a road. It's a journey. We often want our problems to be solved immediately, for everything to be made right instantly. for us to be able to go from bad to blessed overnight. We live in that kind of a day. You know, we want to put our cash card into the machine and have our wildest dreams fulfilled. You know? We want everything to we want that cash machine to spit out $100,000 just by mistake. I mean, this is the day that we live in. We want things to happen suddenly, instantly. But Naomi stepped out in faith, understanding that she was beginning a journey. There's some distance you must travel in order to get out of the place where you've been living and get to the place where you need to be. Just understand it's a process. But the important thing is to step out in faith, to get on the road. There may be some here today who are dealing with a relationship that's in jeopardy. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's one of your children. But the situation keeps moving in the direction from bad to worse. And you've got to ask yourself, what can I do to get on the right road in this relationship? How can I step out and change the direction and move in a different way? How should I speak to this person? What should I do with this person? What will it take in order to get us on the road to healing? Now, some of you have an idea of where you want to be spiritually, but you have struggled with sin and isolation for so long that it seems like you'll never get there. I think you understand what I mean. You know, when you pray and God seems like he's in another universe? You think that you're praying to the ceiling because everything you say just bounces back on you? But I'm here to tell you, God isn't far away. Start taking steps in his direction. Start the journey back to him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in the Bible. Spend time just listening to music that moves you toward God. Spend time with other Christians. Get some distance between you and the old place where you have been living. Take those first few steps. Somewhere along the way, as you walk, as you step forward on this road, it may seem like an awfully long road, but I can tell you that if you step out into that road and move in that direction, somewhere along the way, God is going to come and meet you because he sees that you're moving. But the key is start that trip. Take that step of faith. Get yourself on that road to move in the right direction. I remember I was at a meeting a few years ago and heard a man tell his story about how he had found his way back to a right relationship with God. He'd been living a Christian life years before, but somehow had wandered way off the beaten path. He wasn't sure how he got there. It's just that one day he stopped and looked at his life, and it wasn't at all what he thought it would be. Most days after work, he went to a bar with his friends, would knock back a few suds and would ask girls to dance in order to try his luck with them, while his wife and kids were back at home. He didn't understand how he had gotten there, but that's where he was. And he wanted to get back into a right relationship with God, but he was in so deep, so steeped in sin, he didn't know if he could ever find a way out. So he made that crucial decision to take that first step toward creating some distance between him and that wrong way of life he somehow had gotten into. He wasn't sure how. But he took that first step. It was simple. He simply decided to stop going to the bar after work. And when his friends objected, he told them that he had to help his son with a school project for a couple of weeks. And when that ran out and they came back to him, he said, well, I'm building a deck, and I've got to get home to work on that. He just wasn't strong enough yet to take a bold stand, but he was on that road, taking steps in the right direction. It took some time, but he found his way back home. If you look at your life now and you see something that you don't like, you're not sure how you got there, if you say to yourself, I want to be in a different place, if you want your life to take on a new direction, then take that first step. Get on the road that leads you where you want to be. That's what Naomi did. She took that first step. She got on the road to Bethlehem. Naomi began the road back with her two daughters-in-law. One was named Orpah, the other Ruth. And I applaud you, Michelle, because every time I read that, I said, Oprah. And I thought, man, I had no idea she was there. Now, after they had started on their way, Naomi gave them each a way out. She didn't want to force them back to Judah. She told them to go back to their mothers. Now, understand, these are two Moabite, okay, daughters-in-law. If they came with her to Bethlehem, to Judah, they would be foreigners. And their chances of finding a husband were about nil. Because Israeli men, unless it was very unusual circumstances, would not marry Moabite or foreign women. That was just not the custom. And so Naomi gave them a chance. She gave them a way out. She knew that she would never be able to provide for them like a husband could. And she knew that perhaps life in Bethlehem would be very difficult for a widow and two Moabite women. Now her two sons, had broken custom by marrying foreigners because really they didn't have much choice. But Naomi knew that in Bethlehem men would be inclined to marry Israelites, not foreigners. That was the custom. So Naomi gave them a way out. The Bible says in verses 9 and 10, then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. Now later, Naomi urged them to stay in Moab and find a husband there. She reminded them that she is too old to marry again and that she won't be able to take care of them. I mean, all she could look forward to was going back to Bethlehem in poverty and trying to support two Moabite women was a tough thing to look forward to. Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye, and she headed back to Moab. And Ruth decided to stay with her. And here's what I want you to see. When you decide to take your life in the direction that it needs to go, when you take that step and begin moving in the direction that you sense God wants you to move in, some will decide not to go with you. Some will stay in Moab. When you leave Moab on your way back to Bethlehem, some people will want to stay in Moab because they think that's the place that's best for them. Now, in order to get to build a new life for yourself in a different place, it could be that you may have to say goodbye to some people. You'll have to let go of some relationships. Now, Naomi was just being gut-level honest here. She didn't know what the future would hold. She wasn't sure that she would be able to provide for her daughters-in-law. And she didn't want them to spend the rest of their lives in poverty with the burden of having to take care of her. She was looking out for their best interests. Naomi's spirit has been so brutally crushed by the events of the past that she could hardly be optimistic about the future. And so she said in verse 13 to her daughters-in-law, "It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." What happened here is that they all reached a point of decision. They each had to decide for themselves, which way am I going to go? Naomi gave them both a way out. And Orpah decided to stay in Moab. And Ruth chose to go with Naomi. These two young women faced the moment of decision that we all face, in which country, you know, will we choose to live? Which way will we choose to go? Will we stay where we are, or will we take that step of faith and move in a different direction? Under whose roof will you live? Which God will you serve? These were the choices. You can stay in Moab, maybe find a husband, maybe have children, maybe have a good life for yourself. Things look pretty good in Moab. Or you can go to Bethlehem, probably to live as foreigners with an aging, poverty-stricken widow. You probably will never be able to marry, and you'll probably never have children. You'll probably spend your life working in the fields, earning just enough to get by. You'll always be outsiders, and you'll always be poverty-stricken. Orpah made the decision that most people would say was the rational, sensible, strategic thing to do. She went back to Moab, where her prospects were a whole lot brighter. Ruth, on the other hand, couldn't turn back. There was something that drove her toward Bethlehem. Even though Naomi was in the depths of despair, Ruth was able to see something in her, in Naomi, that she didn't see in the people of her religion back home. Maybe she heard her late husband talk about his life back home, the family he knew, the God he served, and maybe that caused her to say, "It's worth the risk, Naomi. I will stay with you." So in the face of decision, after seeing her sister-in-law gather her things and turn back home, Ruth made a commitment. And she said in verses 16 and 17, "Don't urge me to leave you, to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." That's commitment. That's commitment. On that journey from the old life to the new life, you'll encounter moments of decision in which you determine which direction you'll take and where your future will lie. Not everyone will be able to take that journey with you. So you'll have to decide where your loyalties are. Ruth chose Bethlehem over Moab. She said to Naomi, "Your home is my home, your people are my people, and your God is my God. I will go with you." Not everyone will take the journey with you. So when you reach that moment of decision, you can be sure it'll be your decision. No one can make it for you. The story continues that the two women continued on their journey until they arrived in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a small town, probably not more than a few hundred people. So their arrival created quite a stir. And the Bible says that the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" The name Naomi means pleasant. So Naomi replied, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." The word Mara means bitter. And she said, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Now, she was on her way back to Bethlehem with a good attitude, wasn't she? Things were looking tough. And she made no bones about it. She wasn't speaking fluff to Ruth. And she knew that life would be hard. And then she said this in verse 21, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Doesn't sound like a woman of great faith here, does it? She doesn't sound like a woman whose life is about to be turned around. She sounds like someone who is simply out of options. A woman at the end of her rope. But let's listen to the next verse. There's some symbolism here that you don't want to miss. Verse 22. The very end of the chapter. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Here's what I want you to notice. When you take the journey you need to take, the harvest begins in your life. You may feel like Naomi, that you were once full and now you're empty, and your life has become one bitter affliction after another. But if you're ready to take that journey, you'll arrive at a place of harvest in your life. If you step out on that road of faith and move as God has shown you you should move, you will arrive at a place of harvest. Naomi said that she left full and came back empty. And that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes some things need to be removed from our lives in order to make room for something better. We need to come to God empty so He can fill us up. I love Naomi's honesty. I really don't understand how religious people have developed such a habit of creating facades and pretending that everything is wonderful when it isn't. When you come to, I mean, if you're a Christian, right, things can never be bad. You can never be discouraged, because if you're discouraged, that means you have no faith. Right? If I'm discouraged, if I'm down, I'm not going to share that, because people won't think I'm a good Christian. I sure won't say anything like that at church. Ho! You never see that in the Bible. You just don't see that in Scripture. In the Psalms, again and again, David pours out his heart and expresses his doubts and his fear and his pain. In the book of Job, boy, Job releases all his resentment and frustration about what's happening in his life. He doesn't hold anything back. They're just simply honest before God. Things are tough, and the more obedient I am, it seems the tougher things are getting. And Naomi does the same thing. And to tell you the truth, I struggled with this because Naomi seems so pessimistic. I'd rather have her going through the first chapter of Ruth saying, yes, I've had some setbacks, but hallelujah, my harvest is coming, right? Wouldn't we rather hear that? But she doesn't say that at all. Instead, she says, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter, because I was full, and now I'm empty. Yet she was just a few days away from living a brand new life. In the midst of her bitterness, the harvest was about to begin, even though she couldn't see it yet. The harvest was about to begin because, in spite of her doubts and fears, she kept moving toward Bethlehem. She moved in the direction God showed her to go. And this is what I want you to know. even when you feel empty and bitter and afflicted and abandoned, and that your life is full of misfortune, even in those weakest moments, your harvest is within reach if you'll keep moving in God's direction. Edmund Burke said this, "Never despair, but if you do, work on in despair, because the harvest will soon begin." If your life has been going from bad to worse, if your marriage has been going from bad to worse, if your financial life has been going down the tubes, if your spiritual walk has been going from bad to worse, and if you found yourself in a place where you never thought you would be, I want you to know today, there is a way out. Even when it appears that all hope is lost, there is hope. If your life was full and now it's empty, it can be full again. Get on the road that will take you where you need to go. Get on your knees before God and seek out His will. And as you hear Him speak, okay, create a map, a plan, a strategy, and then do what it takes to start moving in the direction you need to go. Even if it means that you may have to leave some friends behind, because they won't travel with you. You'll have to say goodbye to some people. You'll have to leave behind some habits. You'll have to face a moment of decision that determines your future. But when you pass through that moment of decision and take the road to where you need to be, you'll arrive in time for the harvest. The harvest has just begun for Ruth and Naomi. We'll continue their story next week. But this week, I encourage you to take whatever steps are necessary to leave your Moab behind and make your journey to Bethlehem, where God's harvest is waiting for you. Take that step on the road to recovery, to restoration, to joy. Be faithful to God's calling. It's not going to happen instantly. I can't tell you that you take that first step and your whole world turns around. More often than not, it takes a journey of faith, step by step, day by day, trusting God. If you'll do that, watch what God will do. We'll continue the story next week. Father, I've dealt with so many people whose lives seem to be falling apart. Relationships are crushing them. Circumstances, job, relationships, finances. Just, it seems that everywhere they go, things are just falling apart. Father, maybe, perhaps there are people here today that are facing difficult times. And like Naomi, they become bitter. And they wonder, why, Father, would you bring me here? I pray, Lord, that you would begin to open our eyes to see the road you have for us, the direction you want us to go, that we in faith can step forward and begin that journey back to the harvest that you have for us. Father, would you begin working that in us? And help us, Lord, as we begin to see Ruth's journey of faith into a new life. Work that in us, Lord. We trust you and we love you to work that in our hearts and in our lives. And we commit to that now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.